It's 6 minutes past 11, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
As you know, you and I always love to have people who tell their story. A lot of people have been challenged in their lives, and yet they still turn around to be extremely positive. And I'm really delighted, on behalf of Spotlight, Darren and myself, to have Dinesh Linton in the studios. You have an amazing story to tell, and the things that have happened in your life, for reasons we can't explain, you've turned them into a very positive reflection to be the person you are today. Thanks for joining Darren and I this morning, Dinesh.
You're welcome.
I don't know where to start, because we could speak for hours, because your story is so compelling and so moving. Take us through where things started for you and lead us into where we're going.
The start was quite a long time back, and I went into hospital to have my knee operated on.
Well, that seems pretty easy.
Pretty easy. But when I woke up from the anaesthetic, I realised that they'd operated on the wrong leg. When the surgeon came to see me the next morning, I told him, "You've operated on the wrong leg." And he basically said, no, I didn't. When you were on the anaesthetic, I compared your left to your right, and I operated on the one that was worse. But the pain was in the right, the muscle wasting was in the right, the x-ray was of the right. He'd been treating that right knee for over a year, but I had a scar on the left. So that was the start.
How old were you then, if I could ask?
I was 19.
And the reason I asked that to you, Dinesh, was because 19, the trust you have for people, and I don't want to talk about the profession, I'm just saying for people, they've been looking after you. You wake up the next morning and your world's changed forever.
Yeah, it's changed forever. But, you know, the mistake that he made was he basically sent me a bill for the operation, and I said, no, I'm not going to pay that. And he sent me a reminder, and I said, no, I'm not going to pay that. And then he said, well, if you don't pay, I'm going to sue you. So that's when I had to take legal action and turn this lawsuit against him.
So let's just work through that, Dan. Look, I'm really amazed. So there you go in good faith. You seek an operation and things happen, like we just say, things happen. And that's a bit of a trite comment to say things happen. But, I mean, we're really dealing with really massive issues. You can imagine, listeners, you go in for an operation. I've just had a hip done, as you know, Darren, and thank goodness I operated on the right side. I just wonder how I would have been had that been on the other side and all of those things. But to compound that tragedy and experience, they sent a bill. I'm blown away by that. So let's walk through that. So that would have instigated within you a fire as well.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to pay for something that went wrong, especially something like that. And he basically, we went all the way to the Supreme Court of New South Wales, and the morning of the court case, he actually admitted his liability and he wanted to settle out of court. And I said, well, if I settle out of court, then it's not on record that he operated on the wrong leg. The matter is swept under the carpet. So I said, no, I want my day in court. So I went to court.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you to hold that for a moment, because I want to take you back. And listeners, Darren and I have the privilege of watching the eyes of people. I'm going to ask you this question from Darren and I. You wake up from the anaesthetic. Did you know it was the wrong leg, and how did you feel? Can you go back to that? I mean, what I'm saying is, you wake up thinking, okay, I'm out of recovery.
It was basically fear. I just didn't understand why the other leg was hurting. But there had been a number of complications throughout that day, and I'm as guilty as anyone else in the system, because I did not read the hospital form that... If I had read that form and signed it after I'd read it, I would have seen that the wrong leg was put on there. I told them, so the first mistake was made by the staff at the admin desk. The second mistake was made by me. The third mistake was made by the nurse who came to prepare the leg. She changed the form to read left to right, but she failed to change the second form. the next mistake was made in the operating theatre. No one noticed the R for the right leg on the X-ray. So there were a lot of people who were part of that journey that if the mistake had been picked up by one of them...
We wouldn't be talking today.
We wouldn't be talking today.
But how did you feel... I guess where I'm coming from, Darren, is... And thanks for sharing that. I mean, that's a clinical history of things. How did you feel when inside you said, wrong leg? Like when I was there and I woke out of recovery, I knew this was done. You know what I mean? I dealt with that in that context. How do you deal at that moment? Can you tell our listeners?
I just remember jumping out of bed and then suddenly realizing I didn't know how to walk. Because all that time I'd been leaning on one, favouring one side, and now that side was also in pain. And I remember I had an IV drip stand next to me, and I'm holding on to the stand and making my way. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night, when and the place was deserted. And I remember the nurse telling me, well, nothing can be done at this time of the night. Why don't you go back to sleep? But how can you sleep with something like that? But that period taught me a lot of things. And the positives that I took out of it was, you know, you've got to check and double check that you're not making a mistake in the first place. If you make a mistake, admit it and do something to rectify it. And the other thing that I learned was, just because someone's bigger and stronger than you, it doesn't mean that you should be afraid of them. You've got to be true to yourself and you mustn't give up whatever you take on.
The story reminds me of a saying, fate is the hunter. And I hope everyone, listeners have heard that one, and I think there's actually a movie about it with a plane crash and whatever, and fate is the hunter, I think is the name of the movie. But it's one of my wife's favourite sayings as well, and it sounds like that event, fate was the hunter, and it happened. Now, we know that battle scars is not just that event. There's some other events. Maybe we've got about a minute before the break. If you could just fast forward to one of the other events that's happened in your life that's shaped this reflection of positivity to look at the benefits from what you've experienced.
So 15 years later, I went into hospital to have my first baby. And basically, once again, the system failed and I was forgotten and I was in labour for over 24 hours. And there was so much damage to my body as a result of that, that I needed 11 operations in that first 12 months to try and rectify. So that's a quick snippet. I've had a drain left inside. Even though I told the nurse on three occasions, there were two drains. You've only removed one. And a month later, I was rushed back into hospital for another emergency procedure.
It's time for a quick break, and we know you've got lots more to share, and we'll come back after the break. Going to the break, we're going to play Kate Miller-Heike, Zero Gravity. You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and we'll be back shortly.
Alive 90.5.
It's 20 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have someone who has an amazing story to tell and really tells that story about her life with great conviction, commitment and positivity. I've got to say that to you, listeners. Out of these turmoil and these things that have been thrown at Denise, she has become so positive and is so positive. We're talking about your book, Battle Scars, and it tells journeys over a period of time. And during that period of time, certain events have occurred. You've told us about your knee, you've told us about childbirth and those things, and we're talking through the break that still continues to tell us you have complications still there some 27 years later. We now go through another sub-journey of the total journey. Tell us about that, because it really is amazing what's happened in that period of time.
Well, one of the operations that I had to have when my daughter was born, one of those 11 operations, 10 days after that operation, I woke up with severe pain in my right forearm. And pretty soon I couldn't use the thumb and index finger. I couldn't bend either of them. And I was lucky to be referred to a brilliant hand surgeon by the name of Dr. Ian Isaacs. And he basically wasn't sure what was wrong, but he encouraged me to have a procedure, an exploratory procedure. And 2 days after he operated, the paralysis in my arm was reversed. And all I remember him telling me was, your muscles were white and looked like chicken, and there were tentacles strangling the nerve. And that's all I remembered. And he took me on a journey for full recovery, and I thought everything's fine. But then 4 years ago, I had to go into hospital for an emergency procedure for kidney stones this time. And the same thing happened again. But this time I had my left arm was affected, and I tried to find Dr. Isaac's contact details, but unfortunately what I found was his obituary rather than how to contact him. So I didn't have any access to his notes or his reports or letters. And I went to my surgeon who operated for the kidney stones, and I said, I know what the problem is. I know what needs to be done. My arm will have muscles that look like chicken, and there will be tentacles strangling the nerve. And you can imagine what his response was. Well, I've never heard of anything like this before. So I got moved on to the next doctor, and the next, and the next. By the fifth month, I'd seen 20 different doctors, and they'd given me 20 different diagnoses. And by that stage, my arm was paralyzed, and I was basically told it's too late for recovery. You've got to learn to live with it. And at the back of my mind, I kept on thinking, well, hold on a minute. Dr. Isaacs operated and he gave me recovery. So why is everyone giving up? And by the fifth month, I'd seen 20 doctors. I'd been given 20 different diagnoses, and they had absolutely no idea what was wrong. I went from Sydney to Melbourne to Brisbane, seeing various doctors. I was communicating with doctors in all over the world, in America, India, South Korea, Sweden, trying to figure out what was actually going on. And at that point in time, all the doctors had given up, and I was also on the verge of giving up as well. But a friend of mine said, I'm going to pray for divine intervention. And divine intervention basically came into my life a week later in the form of an email from a totally unknown person who happened to be an astronaut. And he had an amazing story where he wanted to be an astronaut from the age of 5. And he was always told by everyone, give up on that dream. You're never going to be an astronaut. But he persevered. When he was 21, he met NASA's minimum requirements to join the space program. He applied and he got rejected. The next year, he applied again, got rejected again. And this went on for 16 years. And he got 16 years of rejections. But at the age of 42, he finally went on his first of 3 space shuttle missions. And he taught me 2 very important lessons. If he didn't give up with 16 years of rejections, why was I giving up after 6 months? And the other thing that he taught me, if you really want something in life, you've got to work at it every single day to get you closer to your goal. So that's when I started doing insurmountable amounts of research. Google and YouTube were my friends, and I went on various websites trying to find so many bits and pieces of information. I learned about the anatomy of the arm. I learned about drugs, IV placements, IV cannulas, the gauges. I learned how to read MRIs, ultrasounds, neurological reports. And I had to be my own doctor. And you might think it's funny, but I even did a psychological analysis on the surgeon that I thought might be able to help me. And I didn't want to surgeon who was a professor who knew, who thought he knew everything because this was such a rare case. I wanted someone who was young. So I chose someone who was totally inexperienced. He was a hand surgeon, but I chose him based on his smile. I chose him because he had gentle eyes. I chose him because his date of birth was numerologically the same as mine, and we both supported the same football team. And that's how desperate I was.
Who's the football team?
The Bulldogs.
Oh. we'll just cut this interview short then.
Go the Eels.
And I also started thinking at that time, I can't possibly be the only person in the whole world with so many operations happening every single day that this has happened to. So now I'm on a next quest to find a medical twin. And after weeks and weeks of doing research and putting different word combinations into Google, I saw a date on Google's third page, and it was the 5th of May. And the only reason I spotted that date was 5th of May is my birthday. And this paper had been published on the 5th of May.
So what did that paper tell you? And just briefly, because we are getting towards time, what did it tell you about how your ailment could be solved?
It was a paper written about another patient who had something similar. And it was the title of the paper was Isolated Thumb Interphalangeal Flexor Weakness Following Total Hip Arthroplasty. And that was Professor Weinrau and a team of doctors who'd written that paper. And I reached out to them, and he's the one who guided me through a medical maze which lasted for 14 months and 49 different doctors before I did achieve recovery.
That's amazing. Half an hour does go quite quickly, and we know that there's probably, you can tell us how many pages in the book there is. It's quite, 2 inches thick, Jim?
Yes.
You've got it there in your hand.
Yes, I do.
How can people get a hold of the book to hear more about this and maybe even listen to you talk more about your journey?
They can go to my website. My name's Dinaz, D-I-N-A-A-Z, and the website is www.dinaz.com. And you can, Australians can order it in Australia. They've got an Australian version. Amazon's got the American version, which is available all around the world.
Let me finish with this from the book as we finish up. On page 237, after hearing my story, people now say, "You're so lucky." "Why do you think I'm lucky?" I asked. "Because you were operated on the wrong leg." "Really? I'm lucky to have been operated on the wrong leg." "Between you and me, yes, I now know I'm lucky. Thank you, Dr. Johnson, for operating on my wrong leg." It's been a real delight to have you here with us.
Thank you, Dinaz. Thank you for being with us on Spotlight this morning, and we wish you a great day.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.